Picture this. It's mid-morning on a busy weekday. Tenants are on calls, the building automation dashboard starts flashing an alarm, and the key network switch that ties access control and guest Wi-Fi goes dark. The facilities team traces the issue in 10 minutes, but the first question everyone asks is the same. Where's the spare? They don't have one. The vendor lead time is 3 weeks, and suddenly a routine replacement becomes a tenant impacting outage. Hi, I'm Alex Morgan, and that's exactly the kind of avoidable scramble we're unpacking today. Welcome to Built, Wired and Secured, the podcast where we explore how modern buildings are designed, connected, and protected in the real world. I'm Alex Morgan, and in today's episode, we're diving into spare parts, not panic, building an operational inventory strategy for modern buildings, why it matters, where projects usually go wrong, and what decision makers need to understand before problems show up in production. Joining me today is Michael Harrington. Michael, thanks for joining. Can you start by telling listeners why a spare Ethernet switch or access controller should ever be on a facility manager's radar?
Thanks, Alex. From an operational standpoint, spares are about reducing mean time to repair and protecting revenue and occupant experience. I always ask, what breaks if this goes down? If the answer hits tenant safety, revenue, or business operations, you put a plan in place. Lead times on hardware are often much longer than anyone expects, and that gap is where panic buying and downtime live.
Let's set the scene. Downtime costs, supplier lead times, and lifecycle mismatches. Michael, how do those factors combine to make spares a risk management decision rather than just a purchasing one?
Three things converge. One, the cost of downtime, not just in dollars, but in tenant trust. Two, procurement realities. Standard SKUs get discontinued, suppliers have 6 to 8 week lead times, and sometimes longer. And three, BOM drift. Over time, components change because of ad hoc tenant installs or incremental refreshes. Together, they create hidden single points of failure unless you manage spares deliberately.
Okay, segment one, causes. Walk us through the common ways spare parts programs fail in real projects.
'Cause one is BOM drift. The build-out team leaves a baseline bill of materials, but 5 years later, the tenant's contractor replaced an access controller for convenience and didn't update documentation. 'Cause two is procurement habits, buy-to-fail mentality where teams assume they'll get a part fast, until they can't. 'Cause three is single-source dependencies, proprietary modules or discontinued SKUs. And cause four is storage culture. Parts are stored without testing or clear labeling, so when they're needed, they may not work.
That buy-to-fail attitude resonates. It's cheap until it's expensive. Moving into segment two, let's talk trade-offs. Capital tied up in inventory versus the value of immediate availability. How should teams think about that balance?
You treat spares like an insurance policy with a tiered premium. Identify critical systems first, those that, if they fail, tenants notice immediately or operations halt. Hold those spares locally. For lower impact items, consider vendor consignment, managed inventory, or just-in-time procurement. The trade-off matrix is simple. Higher impact equals higher willingness to tie up capital. But you also need rotation plans to avoid obsolescence. A spare that won't boot isn't insurance, it's waste.
Are there general rules of thumb for classifying what's critical versus nice to have?
Yes. Ask three questions for each component. One, does its failure affect life safety or security? Two, does it interrupt tenant revenue generating activities? Three, does it create cascading failures in other systems? If you answer yes to any, classify it as critical. For critical items, aim for one hot spare on site and one backup off site or with a trusted partner. That said, standardize SKUs where possible, so one spare covers more than one location. That reduces inventory without increasing risk.
Good practical advice. Segment three, operationalizing. Walk listeners through a repeatable process. Building a critical parts list, testing cadence, storage, consignment, and governance.
Start with an inventory audit. Map systems to SKUs and note lead times and end-of-life dates.
Next, classify by impact using the questions I mentioned. Third, set a testing cadence. My recommendation is quarterly smoke tests for network and access control spares and semi-annual power-up checks for controllers. Tag each item with a unique ID, date of last test, and next test due. For storage, climate-controlled, static-safe packaging for electronics, clear labeling, and a single point of accountability. For procurement options, explore vendor consignment for expensive or bulky items and negotiate RMA windows into contracts. Finally, governance. Put spare management into operations responsibilities, not a one-off capital project. Make updates part of vendor handovers and annual capital planning.
You mentioned testing cadence and labeling. Can you give a short, practical labeling scheme teams can implement this week?
Sure. Use a simple label, system type, SKU, location code, inventory ID, last test date. Example, AC-control, SKU-12345, BLDG-A-02, SP-0007, 2026-01-15. Put that label on the box and inside the package and record the same ID in your CMMS or inventory spreadsheet. That way, even if the outer box gets damaged, the internal item is still traceable.
Let's get real. Two short examples of what worked and what failed. Michael, can you share one success story and one where the lack of spares caused trouble?
Success first. A multi-tenant office tower we manage standardized access controllers across floors and held two hot spares on site. One controller failed at 8 a.m. Tech swapped it in under 20 minutes, no tenant impact, and the broken unit went out for repair that afternoon. The cost of two spares paid for itself in avoided SLA credits. Failure. On another site, a proprietary network module failed. There was a single spare, but it hadn't been tested in 2 years, and the firmware mismatch made it unusable. That outage lasted 3 days while the correct module was expedited, and the tenant relationship suffered. Lesson: testing and firmware policy matter as much as holding spares.
Those are sharp lessons. We're near the end. Let's give listeners a rapid-fire checklist they can use to start building this program.
Checklist 1. Perform an inventory audit and map lead times. 2. Classify components by impact. 3. Hold hot spares for critical items and consider consignment for others. 4. Set a test cadence and document results. 5. Standardize SKUs where possible and document exceptions. 6. Label and store spares properly. 7. Include spares in capital planning and vendor handovers. 8. Assign operational ownership and schedule annual reviews.
Excellent. For listeners who want to act quickly, we have a downloadable critical parts template and a sample testing checklist on the show site to help you map inventory and set test cadences this quarter. That wraps up today's episode of Built, Wired, and Secured. We covered how to move from reactive panic buying to a deliberate spare parts strategy that protects uptime without tying up unnecessary capital, and hopefully gave you a clearer way to think about how these decisions play out beyond the initial install. Thanks for spending time with us. Michael, thanks again for joining and sharing those operational examples.
Thanks, Alex. Remember, what breaks if this goes down? Let that guide your spare strategy and build the program into operations, not just procurement. That way, tenants feel fewer headaches when things fail, because that's when they notice everything.
Before we go, a reminder, visit our site to download the critical parts template and testing checklist. Built to last, wired with intention, secured for the real world.